This sermon was preached for Easter 3 on April 18th, 2021. The theme is Jesus' words to his disciples, "Peace be with you." I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I speak to you this morning the same words that Jesus spoke to his disciples so long ago. Peace be with you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus tells us that there is a peace that is not dependent on what is going on in your life today. You may be having a great day. You may be having an awful day. You may have had the worst year of your life. And if that is the case, I am deeply sorry. But you need to know that there is a peace, a shalom that you can build your life on that is not contingent with what is going on, but it is deep within you. As I said, that word is shalom. It's beyond everything that we understand because it comes from God, but it will guard your heart and your mind and root them in Jesus Christ, the one who is the source of all peace. Jesus wants you, all of us, to know that peace. Do you know that peace? I've been thinking a lot about peace this week, both because, of course, I've been meditating on this reading, but also because I've been pondering a meeting that I had with the county this week. There was a group of us from the Strathcona County Ministerial, and we were meeting with some people from the county to prepare for the mayor's prayer breakfast. We were on Zoom and batting around different ideas what the theme for this year's prayer breakfast might be. As we talked about it, there was a clear frustration from the county. They said that the reality of working for the county in COVID has just really been hard over the last little bit, that this third wave of COVID is the one that is really hitting people hard, that people are starting to fray and to get at the end of their ropes. People are feeling fearful and isolated and angry. All the stuff, of course, that we have been dealing with from the beginning, but of course, now this length of time is just getting to people. The restrictions, the uncertainties, the loss of jobs, incomes, everything. And I know people who work for government tend to be people who love finding solutions to problems. There is, in fact, a great joy. There is a great feeling of doing good when you do find solutions that bring people to a better quality of life. And I don't have the same cynicism for politicians that a lot of people do. I actually find them to be people who want to help people, to find those kind of solutions, even if they might disagree about what those solutions are. But I could hear the stress from the people of the county when we were talking, because they were finding it hard this time because there were no solutions that they could find. COVID has rendered us into a holding pattern. And they were frustrated because they could only really listen to people's pains and grief and anger and fear and just encourage them to hold on for another day. But as we've experienced, it's one thing to tell people to hold on for a few days, but it's another thing to repeat that same message over and over again for now over a year. And of course, no one is immune to this. All of us are getting down in one way or the other. And so we come to this gospel and ask the question, what does it mean to hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you"? Well, as followers of Jesus Christ, we do have a vision and we do have a way of life that we know that will get us through this hard time. Christians have been following the way of Jesus for centuries, to get them through plague and famine and war and persecution and oppression and poverty and prison. And the invitation for us is old and new to follow the way of Jesus, to know this way of peace, this shalom that passes all understanding. I personally believe that everyone wants this kind of peace, even though they might use different words to speak about this yearning. In the New Testament, it is eirene. All religions preach peace. Every philosophy ever developed holds it in high regard. In the modern world, where so many people are harried and overwhelmed, there is a desire for peace. But more than that, I believe there is a primordial yearning for peace. There is a longing for peace deep within the human soul. I believe it is what we were made for. I believe that it's actually our native language that we have forgotten how to speak very well. We know a few words here and there, but we are no longer fluent. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," of course, to his disciples, he's not speaking English or even Greek. He's speaking Hebrew. He says, "Shalom Aleichem," which is more than a greeting. In fact, it is a proclamation of the gospel, because shalom means wholeness. Things that had been broken and fractured come back together again, now stronger, richer, more vibrant. And when Jesus Christ says, "Peace be with you," he is telling them and us that in him he has forged true shalom through his death and resurrection. That on the cross, Jesus Christ has brought reconciliation with our Creator, our Father in heaven, and that he is now offering the eternal life that comes from this relationship. And he offers this life freely. This is the shalom that St. Paul knew in prison. This is the shalom that Jesus says is freely given. Do not squander this, brothers and sisters, but come and know the Father through me, he says. Know peace, know shalom. How do we know this peace? There is no magic to it. There's no simple technique. There is no trick. It is the natural consequence of just living in true relationship. We can actually see this on a purely secular level. You know, the peace of a household actually doesn't depend on how wealthy the occupants are or how poor they are. The peace of a household depends on the love, trust, and support that the members of the household have for one another. The peace actually flows directly from the kind of relationship that people have with one another. This is one level. But there is, of course, a higher level, a supernatural level. But the idea is the same. Peace flows from the quality of relationships that we have. And when we talk about peace, as Christians, we know there are three levels of relationship that we need to nurture every day to know this peace. The first is, of course, our relationship to God, or with God, through Jesus Christ. Christ is the source of our peace. As you see from Ephesians, Christ himself is our peace, our eirene. To be in Christ is to be filled with his life, to know that we are loved. This is actually ultimately the meaning of the word righteousness, or to be righteous. The problem, of course, with the word righteous is that it has quite a bad rap. When people hear righteousness or righteous, they automatically hear self-righteous. But that's not the meaning of the word. Its real meaning is to be in right relationship. It simply means that everything is right, as it is supposed to be, righteousness. And what are we supposed to be? We are made for relationship with God. We were born, designed for connection. To live life apart from God is to lose our center, who we really are. And to know that peace that Christ has won for all of us is to take this relationship seriously, to say yes, to live it daily. This is the life of faith and worship. Faith is the name for our relationship with God, and worship is the love language of God, how we connect with God. The second relationship that we have to nurture, of course, is our relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, our relationship with our families, our relationship with our friends. The Bible calls this fellowship. The Greek is koinonia. And fellowship is a rich source of peace. In fellowship, we know that we are valued and loved. In fellowship, we have a chance to find the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given us, and to make a contribution to our community. It is a life of service and fellowship, to give, and in giving, we receive. Because, of course, what do you receive when you give? You receive peace, love, joy, hope. Another word is the fruits of the Spirit. And, of course, we have a third relationship, that to the world. We use the word mission a lot. But the simple meaning of the word mission is to bring Christ to the world in your life. You, as a Christian, are the embodiment of Christ to an unbelieving world. As the popular saying goes, you may be the only Bible someone ever reads. This is a high calling, to reach out like Christ, to make a difference, to bring healing. If you see a need, go and help, be a blessing, give to a charity, be a person to talk with, stand up for someone in need, volunteer in your community, tell people about God's love for them in Jesus Christ, be a force for good. All of this is bringing Christ. It is a life of evangelism, service, and justice, to serve the common good and, even bigger, the kingdom of God. And to serve is a source of peace. As Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Of course, I end with a question as I came out of this meeting with Strathcona County. Is all of this important at all, or is it just a side issue for religious people to talk about? I've been meditating on this through something I read about an insight from Albert Einstein. Many of you will know him as the theoretical physicist who gave us or discovered the theory of relativity. He was not a Christian himself, but he was a deep thinker and understood human nature very well. And he saw the deep need for what could be. And I was meditating on him through a book I was reading by a woman named Krista Tippett called Becoming Wise. And this is what she wrote: that Einstein began his life with a profound faith in the social good of the scientific enterprise. He imagined a community of cosmic endeavor that would transcend tribal rivalries and nationalistic boundaries. But then in the 1930s, he watched German science hand itself over to fascism. He watched chemists and physicists suddenly become creators of weapons of mass destruction. He said that science in his generation had become like a razor blade in the hands of a three-year-old. And in that moment, he began to see that figures such as Moses, Jesus, and Saint Francis as, quote, geniuses in the art of living. Einstein proposed that their qualities of spiritual genius were more necessary to the future of human dignity, security, and joy than even objective knowledge. Geniuses in the art of living. I think what he meant was just people who brought peace to the world. And we bring a particular peace, the shalom of God. Because to know the peace of Christ isn't just for you. It is, in fact, Christ's way of bringing peace to the world where you live. As you meditate on this gospel, as you leave here today, I invite you to personally know the peace of Christ. In your life, live the peace of Christ. And in your heart, to be the peace of Christ. Amen.